the praise team who functions with the least amount of members and still teaches us how to fight battles. Welcome to the church house. We bless you from the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 118, verse 26. I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I am happy to introduce our teaching pastor, O. Runner for Christ Ministries is a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We have a collection of teaching pastors that help us mature and learn more about our infinite God. Let's listen with ears to hear and get another new understanding of this word so we can share it with others. Today, Pastor O will deliver a sermon titled Forerunner for Christ. The text is coming from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. So turn or click in your Bibles to Mark chapter number 1, verses 1 through 8. It reads as follows. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's receive Pastor O with open hearts as he delivers a sermon titled Forerunner for Christ. So church, repeat after me. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Rebecca. Appreciate you. How's everybody doing this morning?
Great.
Amen. That is awesome. Praise God. Somebody grab me, Darius, grab me one of them waters. Amen. One of them steel waters. Amen. God bless. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Amen. All right, then.
This one right there.
Okay, see, never mind. She got me. She got me.
You need to.
I need to. Praise God. I don't need one. Yeah, you can give it to my mouthpiece over here. Amen.
Give it to the
rep. Tag team. Thank you, Brother Deacon. We appreciate you. Amen. God bless. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. It's because of you that we are here. If you did not give us the power to wake up this morning, if you didn't touch us like old folks say with that finger of love,
yes,
we would not have woken up. We would still be laying there. But because you touched us with that finger of love and then gave us a mind to come out to church, we thank you for that. And now, Father, that we are here, we thank you for the praise team who has led us in praise participation, where we all get to sing to you, because we're not here to be entertained. We're here to entertain you,
yes,
with some praise and some worship that you so richly deserve for all that you have done, are doing, and going to do. So, Father, bless now this word that you gave me for this people, so that when we go down from this place, we will be like the woman who was at the well, where she said, come see a man that told me everything I ever done. Is not this the Christ? In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today.
So they hear your word today.
And Lord, bless my heart.
And Lord, bless my heart.
So it receives your word today.
So it receives your word.
Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts, they're not like yours. But I'm here today to be changed, to be transformed. Change the way I think to the way you think. So I can always know what your good, pleasing, and perfect will is for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And that's what God wants for us. You know, when I'm studying, he always tells me when I see rough things in the Bible, he says, sometime I have to get rough to get you to the place where I can bless you. Amen. Sometime the Lord say, I have to take some things from you so I can get you to the next thing I got for you.
Okay.
Amen. The Lord say, sometimes I have to throw up a detour sign so you can see something else that you wasn't expecting while you're in the detour on your way back to the road you were on.
Okay.
Amen. So God got many ways to bless us. And he always keeps us. He's always ready to restore us. He's always ready to bring us back. Brothers and sisters, we have got to stop putting the ugly face of God out there. Amen. When we mention God's name, people just turn away. Oh, you one of them. Amen. And we wonder, what do you mean I'm one of them? You one of them Christians. You one of them people who tell everybody they're going to hell. You one of them people who say, God love you. And then I say, well, I don't want to believe in God. Now you tell me I'm going to hell. You just told me he loved me. We got to stop putting that face out there. We got to put that face out there that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him won't what?
Yes.
But have what? God did not send his son into the world to do what? But the world through him might be what? Amen. And that's what God wants. He's not going to ever stop trying to save somebody until they're over there where he at. And the choice and the decision has been made. If you see him on this side, he wants them in heaven. Even Donald Trump. No, amen. Well. We'll grow to that, huh?
Yeah.
We got some work to do here. We ain't amening yet. Amen. We got to grow to that. Amen. But today I want to talk to you about John the Baptist. It's a forerunner for Christ. Amen.
Yes.
Forerunner. He went before Christ. Amen. Our world today is pretty much like the world was when John came. Amen. When Jesus shows up on the scene. God's people, if you read the Old Testament, you see they weren't quite doing all that well with sticking to the 613 laws that God gave them. He gave them tort laws, he gave them civil laws, he gave them criminal laws, he gave them laws that you help these people. He gave them all kinds of laws that would create perfect order in their society, even though they weren't perfect. All they had to do is what God said, and that would have been God's imputed righteousness to them because they're doing what he said. They didn't have their own righteousness. They didn't do something and God said, hey, I like that. I think I'm going to make that a law. No. Amen. God gave them a word.
Amen.
And they kept that word. And so God imputed righteousness to them. But they didn't do so hot. Under Joshua, they didn't take all the land they were supposed to get that God gave them. We know what happened to the group that came out of Egypt, the 2 million, right? They all dropped dead in the wilderness. They was all what? Can't get right. Amen. Worshiping idols. Chasing Moabite women. You're constantly backbiting on God. That is something God don't like, when we backbite. When the Lord say something and we say, yeah, but, amen. Or either we spit some venom on what God said. Amen. He don't like that. So Israel didn't do so hot throughout the Old Testament. Amen. They kept turning on God. Even though God said this, they kept turning. But God told them something in Isaiah 40 and 3 that he was going to send a messenger before them. Amen.
Okay.
That he would be a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the pathways of the Lord. He would be the forerunner to remind Israel that their Savior is coming. And then the message got real deep. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So you need to repent. Amen.
Okay.
And so John found what we live in today. The world needs a forerunner for Christ. The church today has become a big giant, what the Lord Jesus calls it, entertainment center. We act just like, I saw this Christian movie one time. I think it was a Christian movie. This man was sitting in the back seat of a car.
Oh, go
his name was Brooklyn.
Yes. Oh,
amen. Amen. Told his boy, St. Louis, do something to make me feel better. I literally had somebody to tell me, I don't come to church to feel bad. And the way you preach make me feel bad. Good. God convicting you.
Yeah.
The only reason God convicting you is because you're in a bad place and God wants you to go to a good place. And that's how he's going to get you out of this place, by convicting you. Amen. Church is not a place where you come so you can hear something that make you feel good. See, we make it all about us. It ain't about us.
Yes, say it.
The whole Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 is about Jesus.
Yes.
It's about how God is going to get us to Revelation 21 and 22. It's all about that. It is not just about us. Even though it's all about us. It's all about us being saved, but it's all about who the Savior is, and his name is what? Jesus. So John the Baptist has a job to do. The people are miles away from God. Things exist now that didn't exist in the Old Testament. There were no Pharisees in the Old Testament. They came up during the intertestamental period, their political party. There were no Sadducees during the Old Testament. They came up during the intertestamental period, that period between AD 435, when God gave them the hand in Malachi, and the time that John the Baptist literally says in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar came, who? John the Baptist saying what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is what? At hand. They have the Essenes. These are, you know, we got Essenes today. People get so holy they don't even go to church no more because they can't be around those church people. Because they hypocrites. So they don't even go to church no more. They're so holy, they can't even go around God's holy people. Amen. They up there with Jesus. They rolling around with the Holy Spirit. What old folks say, mother? They say they become so what? Heavenly minded. They ain't no what?
Earthly good.
Now, John the Baptist could have been heavenly minded. His whole life, amen, was a result of prophecy. Amen. One crying Malachi told him in 3:1, I'm going to send my messenger before your face, before Jesus comes. His job, you know how you're getting ready to have a party? And you go all around town doing what? Remember back in the day, they used to put flyers out, and they would put these boards on the poles, on the telephone pole, and they would tape them up on buildings. It's going to be a cabaret this weekend. They want the whole town to know. And actually, what they were doing is letting you know before it happened. They didn't wait until it happened. They wanted you to be able to get ready. They wanted you to be able to go to Mr. C's and buy you some new clothes. Y'all don't even know Mr. C's, do you? Yeah. They wanted you to go to Baker's Menswear and get you some clothes. Y'all know Baker's? Hey, man, you had to get ready for the party. Well, that's what John the Baptist was doing. All that Israel had been waiting for years and years and years. Okay, somebody went to Billy's up on Visga. Amen. Yeah. Some people went to the Blue Light Special at Kmart. Amen. It was right under the blue light. You couldn't miss it. But they wanted you to be ready.
Right.
You needed to prepare for that. Go get you some shadow stripe pants, some gabardine shirts, and some apple hats, and some platform shoes so you can walk like Bootsy. Amen. See, y'all don't know nothing about platform shoes. Y'all know something about Bootsy. Say Bootsy. Amen. Amen. Why your, oh Lord Jesus, why your face shaped like a star? Amen. That Echoplex, my man. Amen. They wanted him to get ready. John the Baptist's job was to get Israel ready for the long-awaited Savior. They had been waiting. Ever since Genesis 3:15, they had been waiting when God said, somebody's coming who's going to crush the head of Satan, break his rule over us, albeit his heel would be bruised by him. Somebody's coming. Moses said that God going to send you somebody like me. Listen to him. Amen. All of the prophets prophesied that somebody was coming. Yeah. Well, guess what? It's imminent now. He's right around the corner. He's on his way. You need to get ready to receive him. Amen.
Okay.
John the Baptist had a miraculous birth. His mother couldn't get pregnant, and his father, amen, couldn't make it happen. Amen. But then the angel of the Lord got busy. Isn't it wonderful how God will let us know before he getting ready to do a thing?
Yes.
He won't just spring it on us. He will give us some hint, some way, somehow. He's going to let us know, I'm getting ready to do that thing you've been waiting on a long time. What you've been searching for, that moment you've been waiting on, is about to come to pass. You know why? Because Joyce Meyer told me a long time ago, you need to stop waiting until you get there to praise God. But you need to learn how to praise God on your way there. Why? Because God said it. The Hebrew, the writer of Hebrews tells us that faith, now faith, right now faith, is the substance of the stuff we hope for. The stuff we hope for is the stuff that God told us. And we become what? Confident that we're going to receive that even though we don't possess it right now. Why? Because God told us.
Yeah.
You don't never want to be waiting on nothing that God didn't tell you to wait on. It's not going to get there. If your hope is not built on something Jesus said in the Word of God, then you got crazy hope. You got crazy faith. Amen. Crazy faith is in things that God didn't say, but you're trying to make it happen. Amen. It kills me when I see Christians running around talking about, I decree, I declare. I wait to hear what they're decreeing and what they're declaring. If it's what God said, decree on. If it's what God said, declare on. If not, you ain't decreeing and declaring nothing. Because Jesus said, except you abide in me, how much can you do? That's why I love that song by Ken Jones with a grandma come on. And she said, I speak these words over to you now. And the words she spoke come right out the Bible. So the people who were sitting there in that presence of that grandma speaking the words over them right now, if you believe God, if you trust God the more, he will bless you the more. What old grandma was saying is, trust, believe, and rely only on the Lord. And he will give you what? The desires of your heart. He will delight you. Amen. So John the Baptist had to get these people ready. Ready to receive their long-awaited Savior. They needed to, what James said in John and James chapter 4, verses 8, around that verse he says, amen, submit yourselves to God, right? Then once you submitted yourself to God, you have the power to resist the devil. And when you submit yourself to God and you resist the devil, amen, then he will what? Flee from you. Oh, do you need proof? You look like proof that from the Bible. Well, the devil showed up on Jesus, didn't he? Jesus resisted the devil's temptations 3 times, didn't he? From the word of God, from the book of Deuteronomy, didn't he? And when Jesus bust that head the 3rd time, what did the devil do? The Bible says the devil left him. What does that tell you? When you stand on the word of God, even though you're sitting in a Philippian jail, amen, not because you did something wrong, but because they didn't like what you were doing, that was right. And so they threw you in jail. And you stand on the word of God. Instead of hanging your head wondering how you got there, instead of hanging your head wondering how could God let something like this happen, you still know what? God is good, and how often is he good? So what do? You sing praises at midnight. You don't know if God gonna let you out. You don't know if the jailer gonna come and open the door. You don't know what God gonna do. But you know God is what? Good?
Yes.
And good all the time.
Yes.
And so you praise him at midnight. Paul didn't wait, Mimi. I mean, Deaconess, God. I see, that's the thing I know, y'all. It's like, amen. But he didn't wait until he got out of jail to sing praises. Amen. He didn't wait till the chains fell off. He didn't wait till their feet were out of the stocks. He didn't wait till the jailer came in thinking everybody had ran off. He praised God before any of that happened. Amen.
All right.
Amen. So God wants us to know up front, so we can praise before we get here. See, some folks' ears should have said, I'm happy. Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
The Messiah is coming. I'm ready to do my happy dance right now. John didn't show them the Messiah yet, but he said he's coming. He's around the corner. It's one thing to be excited about something you're getting ready to do, a place you're getting ready to go 5 months out. But as you get closer to that day, that joy, it should have been an ever-increasing joy, Mary, from the time, amen, that you knew from God this thing was going to happen until that thing shows up. So when Jesus shows up, finally shows up, it should have been the crescendo, right? That's when the party really break out and go to a whole nother level, even though we've been partying all the time. But John is dealing with the people who have moved away from Jesus. They're not trusting God no more. They're listening to the Pharisees. And then they're listening to this bunch over here who was sad, you see, because they only believed in the first 5 books of Moses. And then you had the Essenes telling them, look, ain't nobody living right for Jesus. Let us go over here in these caves of Qumran and let's just, we're going to live over here. We ain't going to be around them because they fake phony. And we going over here. And then you had the zealots. The zealots was like, let's go kill some Romans. Jesus wants us to go kill some Romans and throw off their yoke. Amen. So John was faced with folks that did, and plus they got a king who is a what? Idumean. And God said through the prophets, what? Thou shalt not have a what? Foreigner to rule over you. So I'm like, America got, amen. Yeah, somebody missed that. We got a foreigner ruling over us right now. Amen. A South African foreigner ruling over us right now and going straight crazy. Amen. He'll give a baby a job, then fire him. Talking about you on probation. Amen. You cannot do illegal things and thank God with you. You're delusional. If you believe you're doing evil and God is with you, you're delusional. Amen. So John the Baptist has to get them ready to receive their long-awaited Messiah. Yep. But he tells them to repent. Take a 180-degree turn out of faith. See, repent is not like what Messiah taught us. This is not repentance. Jesus, I did wrong. Jesus, I was walking the wrong way. I did wrong. Jesus, I'm walking the wrong way. I'm doing wrong. You notice what's happening? So this is how repentance works. Jesus, I'm doing wrong. I'm going the wrong way. That's repentance. Amen. This is not repentance. Jesus, I'm doing wrong. I'm doing wrong, Jesus. Every day I'm doing wrong. And he's a steady wrong.
Walking to that wall.
Amen. Exactly. Because sooner or later, God going to put a wall up and you're going to run right into it. Amen. Just like Israel did over and over and over. They got out of jail. Amen. And reoffended. They was habitual criminals. Amen. They just, as soon as they got out of the 70 years that God had predicted the punishment over Jerusalem, 70 years they got out, right? And then you read Malachi 1 and you be like, wait a minute. This must be some Gentiles they're talking about. This cannot be God's people. Already left. You just got out of jail, and here you are running from the police. You're on YouTube. Amen. Running from the police. They're about to pit maneuver your car and tear that baby up. The TVI, technical vehicle interruptions. It will tear your stuff up. Amen. God had the TVI some of us. He had the TVI Israel over and over and over. They got TVI by the Assyrians in 722, Sennacherib came and took them out, the 10 northern tribes. Then you got Benjamin and Judah, amen, they offended, amen. So God TVI'd them, they got pit maneuvered, amen, and Babylon came and took them out, right? And then they thought their hallelujah party, Nebuchadnezzar is gone, but his boy took over, amen. And then King Darius, amen, he came in under your boy Cyrus the Great, amen. He got pitted again. And then the Media Persians got pitted by the Greeks. The Greeks came in. The Greeks got pitted by the Romans. The Romans came in. So when John the Baptist finds them, they are in a horrible place. They don't have a king. They got a temple that was built by an Idumean who's a foreigner. They're in a horrible place. But John the Baptist says to them, repent. Ain't that a wonderful thing?
Yes. Yeah.
God don't walk up to us and say, you're dead.
Yeah.
You're wiped out.
That's good.
You're through. You're over. But he says, repent. Amen. In other words, God's saying that we can turn.
Yeah.
We can change. We can change our relationship with him. We can change our relationship and our standing in the world. All we have to do is what? Repent. And remember, confession is one thing. Repenting is another thing. Amen. That's a whole other thing. God won't believe you sorry about your sin till you stop.
That's good.
Even if, now watch this. I stopped 5 minutes ago. Hallelujah. Did my happy dance. Then 5 more minutes. And guess what? As long as you keep realizing that you're wrong and he's right, you agree with him. He says he will work with you. The word is cleanse. Amen. It would have been different if God say, I'm going to forgive you and clean you all the way up. He said cleanse. When you cleanse something, it don't get clean in a second. How many of y'all throw y'all stuff in the washing machine, pull it right back out, it's clean? Oh no, it got to be agitated. Yeah. I used to watch the Israelites when they was washing clothes, they go down by the river and they find some rocks and they start beating them. Jesus said, see, that's how I got you, straighten you out. slamming you against the rocks. Amen. Amen. Israel need to be cleaned up.
Yeah.
They've become a mess. They've been filthied up by Babylonian practice. They've been filthied up with the Medo-Persian practices, the modern-day Iranians. Amen. They've been filthied up with Greek practices. And you know the Greeks. They had like a god for everything. Amen. They've been filthied up by the Romans, who most Bible scholars believe are guilty of all the sin in the world, even though they wasn't around in the garden. But that's what the scholars say. Amen. So they need to get ready. It's like a man getting ready to meet his wife. A wife getting ready to meet her husband. Amen. They need to get ready for that. Don't y'all prepare when you're going on a date? Don't you prepare? And not after you get married, all that stuff. But amen. You need to be prepared for that. And so John is getting them prepared for what? They're a bride. Israel don't know it, but they're a bride. A bride prepared for what? A husband.
Okay.
And who's the husband? Jesus. How many people you know don't prepare at all for a wedding? They just do it. They don't get prepared. They met one day, and the next day they was married. Amen. John wants them to get prepared. Now, what does that mean for us today? We're forerunners of Christ.
Yep.
Yep. Amen. Except we're not just trying to reach God's people. Because they ain't. Why they don't grow or mature, that's a whole nother sermon. But they're in. Our job is before Jesus comes back, he's coming back to get us one of two ways. Jesus promised us over in John chapter 14 that he said, let not your heart be troubled.
Okay.
You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house.
Yes.
Are many mansions or plenty room?
Yes.
I'm going away there to put the blood that I'm going to spill on the altar to prepare a place for you. Because without the blood, we can't get there. Yeah, it's the blood that gets us into heaven.
Okay.
If you're not covered in the blood of Jesus, you can't get there. But I'm going to prepare a place for you so that when I come back, to receive you unto myself so that you can be with me where I am forever. That's what we call the independent rapture.
Amen.
I remember when Jesus came and got my father. And then he came back later and got my mother. At the same time, he got some of my sisters, some of my brothers, some of my cousins, and some of my nephews. He just kept coming back. That wasn't the rapture. That was the independent rapture.
Yep.
They were called away. I know a man who woke up, and I know a woman who woke up in the middle of the night, and their loved one was laying on the floor going home to Jesus. No warning. Not, I'm getting ready to do this. I've done this. He just kept his promise. Remember that when Jesus comes back and take one of your loved ones home, that is him keeping his promise.
Yes.
He didn't mess up. He didn't make a mistake. And Jesus never said when we were born, you're going to live to be 1,000. And then we've got it all mixed up. We're supposed to be 80 before we leave. 410, right? 310. Excuse me. Well, you know who didn't get their 310? Martin Luther King. He didn't get it. Died at 33. Jesus didn't get his 310. Died at what? 33? Amen. Now think it over and think of how many Christian folk you know that did great things in the word for the Lord, and they ain't make no 310. Jesus keeps his promises. Well, guess what? There's going to be one day a catching away of all of us. He's going to come back and get the whole church, and not one of us who believe in Jesus will be left. But we'll all be, the word rapture is not in the Bible, but the word, Greek word for that is harpazo. The English word for that is caught away, catched away, caught away real quick. Moment, twinkling of an eye. You're going to be catched away. I had to get that right. Amen. I had to let it work around for a minute to get it right. Amen. So next time you see somebody say, when the rapture happened, I'm going to be catched away. Amen. They'll understand. So our job before either of those events happen is to get to the people that God created, not just the Jews, and please stop trying to lead Christians to Christ. I can't stand it when somebody come up to me. I was at a gas station in my GTX, getting some gas, some race gas up here on Southfield, because they had it up there. And then I saw these guys, and they was Gideon's 300. And I was like, Jesus, please don't let them come over here. Please don't let them come over here. Don't let them. I must have, saying that, Aaron must have drawn them. It was like I turned a magnet on. And they came over and asked me, did I know Jesus, Pastor Sarah? I said, yes. Yes. Go away. I don't know if that guy knows Jesus. You might want to go ask him. And then they wanted me to join the 300. I'm like, dude, I'm at the gas station, just met you, now you want me. Another guy came up to me here at the church. He told me that God wanted me and him to preach the gospel to everybody in the downriver area and save all these souls. As soon as God come tell me that, homie, I'm going to call you up and we're going to go save them souls. The world need to hear about Jesus. I mean, look at our world today.
Yes.
Has God not plowed the fields and made them ready? Are the fields not white and ready for harvesting, as Jesus said in John chapter 4? You say that it's not time for harvest. But the Lord said, look at the fields. And what he was pointing at, if you watch the Gospel of John, you will see these people coming from Samaria, led by this woman with a bad reputation, she's bringing them to Jesus. And Jesus points at them and tells his disciples, look, is not the harvest ready to be brought in? If a woman with a bad reputation who had five husbands and the one she got now is not hers, if that kind of woman, and you know what's deep about that? Is everybody else Jesus did anything for? He said, keep your mouth shut.
All right.
Don't tell nobody that I'm the Messiah. Wait till I rise up. But then he told this woman. The woman said, we know after he told her, you got five husbands and the one you got now ain't yours. She just dismissed all of that. And she said, we know that when Messiah comes, he's going to teach us everything. And she said, the one you're looking at, that's him. That is all she needed. That is all she needed. Which tells you she knew that Bible. Why? Because she knew the prophecies when Messiah comes. And she knew what he was going to do when Messiah comes. He's going to tell us everything. And Jesus had told her everything. So her testimony was, Jesus, when she got to that town, you know what she did, president and everything? She said, hey, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ? That is what the Lord wants us to do. Talk about the things that God has done for you. Talk about why you saved. Talk about why you love him. You can't talk a whole lot of scripture to them because they don't have the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us you need him to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a mind to conceive. Without that, you can't. But you can tell them, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. You know, Lecrae says in one of his songs, I hate to die and stand before the Lord having never led someone to Christ before. You don't want to go to church Bible class and do home Bible study and you ain't never led nobody to Jesus? If you go on your job, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 says, lead a quiet life on your job. Mind your own business on your job. Work with your own hands on your job. Guess what's going to happen automatically? You're going to get the respect of those who are on the outside, and here's a super blessing. You won't be dependent on nobody. That's God's word. So whether we are verbalizing our witness for Christ, like John the Baptist did, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, whether we're verbalizing it for Christ, or we're just lifting Christ up by the way we live. And people get drawn in.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll never forget, I'm going to close with this. Avetrius was on the job, and the layoff notice came around. And all the Christians in the office was tripping. Amen. Unsaved folk figured, well, I got to get me another job. But Christians trip. She wasn't tripping. And they wonder why she's not tripping. Because her God.
Amen.
She believed in her God. He going to provide for me. He going to take care of me. I'm not, on the inside, I'm shook up. But then the reality that my God is good and good all the time got me steady. And guess what? That makes people want what you have. We are Christians. And we're supposed to be fruitful Christians, right?
Right.
Not fruity, fruitful. Amen. We're supposed to be fruit. If nobody wants to taste your fruit, why?
Watch out.
Fruit is made to what? Be looked at? No, they make artificial fruit for that. But you're not artificial. Your Christianity ought to make people want to be Christian. We're forerunners for Christ. We get to experience what John the Baptist experienced. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you look at our world today and you understand eschatology, the last days, the end times, you know the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so we ought to feel an urgency to tell that family member who ain't in Christ, you need Jesus. To tell those co-workers who are curious about Christ,
yes,
here's Jesus.
Come on.
Tell that criminal, here's Jesus.
Come on.
Tell that prostitute, here's Jesus. And there's evidence of the Bible and the Gospels of him helping all kinds of people. It didn't matter. As many as they brought unto him, he healed them all. God still loves the world.
Yes.
God still says, whoever believes in me, well, not no matter what we say to people, because we can be funny sometimes. We can tell somebody Jesus love them, and I love what they're doing, and then the next day we all over them because we caught them not being perfect. Amen. My time's all the way up. They got the big time up sign back there. Praise God, three time keepers. They don't even got Darius involved in it. Amen. Hey, let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for giving us this calling. We thank you, Father, for giving us this work to do. We thank you for giving us this opportunity to be like John the Baptist, to be a forerunner for Christ. Now, we're not John the Baptist. You said of him, there'll never be one born of women greater than him, because what he did is actually the forerunner for the literal Messiah. But Jesus, we get to do it like he did it. We get to say the kingdom of heaven is coming back. We get to say the kingdom of heaven is on its way. And here's the good news, that you can be saved today. All you need to do is believe. Help us, Lord, to be passionate about that. Help us, Lord, to do it like Jesus. Help it so that the work of our hands are not ours, yours. Help it so the words that come out of our mouth are not ours, yours. Help us to always be wherever you are. And help us, Jesus, to make it our goal, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let us make it our goal to please you. And let us remember that you have made us preachers of the reconciliation. Help us, Lord, to see people like you see them. Help us to love them with an urgency like you did when you sent Jesus to die and be raised on the third day. In your name, Lord, we thank you and give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Good one, Rep.